case of the day, Hamden versus Mukasey. Ms. Cobb.
May it please the court, my name is Erin Cobb. I represent the petitioner, Jalal Abu Hamdan. Mr. Hamdan is before this court today seeking review of the denial of his withholding of removal and convention against torture claims. This court's standard of review for such claims is the substantial evidence standard. This is a case where the agency simply failed to analyze the evidence and the arguments before it. Therefore, the case cannot be based on substantial evidence.
Well, we have the jurisdictional issue, I think, don't we?
A jurisdiction issue, sure. As you know, the respondent has claimed that we did not exhaust the issues before the Board of Immigration Appeals. First, as far as the Convention Against Torture, the Board of Immigration Appeals, in its own opinion, acknowledged that we raised the issue. They stated, we shall address the merits of the respondent's claim for withholding of removal under the Act and under the Convention. So that itself takes care of the Convention Against Torture claim. As far as the withholding of removal, there was the sentence I just stated, but also we did relay the facts and the testimony of Mr. Hamdan's fear, and also those facts and testimony establishing the grounds upon which his fear was based. We cited the statutes for withholding of removal, including withholding of removal based upon the fear in the future. We cited the case law, and we did take issue with a number of the immigration judge's statements regarding his fear in the future. Again, the Board of Immigration Appeals acknowledged that we raised withholding of removal and withholding of removal under the Act. Withholding of removal can be proved two ways. One, if there is past persecution that the respondent suffered, then there arises a rebuttable presumption that he will suffer persecution in the future. However, if he has not suffered past persecution, then he can still show a clear probability of persecution in the future. Mr. Hamdan sought relief under his nationality. He feared persecution on account of his nationality, that he's a stateless Palestinian residing in the West Bank. The immigration judge, in examining this part of the claim, said only that because he had been employed and paid by the Israeli government, he didn't have any grounds for persecution. He didn't address the evidence in the country reports showing what was going on in the West Bank at the time, and he did not address Mr. Hamdan's testimony on those current conditions.
But the condition there is so fluid, even month by month, week by week. How do we know what he really is facing?
Well, there was a definite change in the year 2000. Mr. Hamdan came to the United States in the 90s, but in the year 2000 was the Intifada, the uprising, and things definitely deteriorated. There's the building of the wall, there are town closures. He testified that his own town was closed. So, and that's also a reason why I brought up in the brief the country reports for 2006, asking this court to take judicial notice of what's currently going on in the West Bank.
Nothing ever directly involving him bad happened.
That's correct. Because he left, he was fortunate, because he left before things went downhill. It was the conditions that changed while he was in the United States that gave rise to his fear of persecution. And again, suffering persecution in the past is not a prerequisite for showing that you are eligible for withholding of removal. You can also show the likelihood that you will suffer it in the future. Also, I wanted to bring to this court's attention, what's going on in the West Bank is not general strife. It's not conditions of war in a war-torn country. It's not even just general economic depression. We have here the deliberate imposition of substantial economic deprivation by the Israeli government on the Palestinian people.
Ms. Cobb, isn't it in fact the case that hundreds of West Bank residents come into Israel to work?
Hundreds of West Bank. They have to have special permission from the Israeli government.
Right. And I assume they return at night?
They must return at night. That's true.
Right. If we were to have an individual who, let's say, within the last year was such a person who came in daily to work and then came to this country, would you suggest that just by virtue of having been one of those transit workers in 07, for example, mm-hmm. Would you be making the same argument in that case?
I would not.
Why? What distinguishes that worker who comes and works in whatever commercial capacity from this individual?
There are two things that distinguish at least Mr. Hamdan. One, his level of education and training. He does hold a PhD in archaeology. He testified to the very small chances that he would find employment in that country. And this court has found in other cases that the deprivation of your livelihood is grounds for persecution, economic persecution. So there's his level of education and training, and the fact that we know his village is closed off. We don't know how people are getting in and out of his village. Secondly, he does have the additional claims of his imputed political opinion and social group that the immigration judge called plausible. He called his imputed political opinion, the fact that he might be seen as a collaborator with the Israelis because of his former employment with the Israelis, he called that plausible. So he's got two, a higher level of education and then also this additional fear that he will be seen.
Do any of the in-country reports suggest that individuals with higher education experienced greater criticism from fellow Palestinians because of involvement in either educational or, in this case, archaeology?
It's not the education and the archaeology. It's the view, it's the possibility of being seen as a corroborator.
Because the employment is the government as opposed to private Israeli individuals?
He worked for the government, and he was highly visible in his work for the government.
I mean, is that the distinction, that as
yes.
opposed to working in, let's say, a bakery or a factory?
His visibility and, yes, and his association with, you know, he was working for the Department of Archaeology. He was very high up in that. And he was seen, he was the only Palestinian who had this high job when he was working. There were fields of workers, fields of Palestinians that he testified to who were the laborers, the diggers, that he didn't associate with. He associated with the other Israeli bosses who came in. He testified that he was on good terms with them. He was associated with the Israeli students. He came and taught the Israeli students about archaeology, and he was also escorted by armed Israelis. So it's definitely different from a person who's working in a store, as you suggested, are distinguishing characteristics. Moving on, the political, more about the imputed political opinion. He did express a fear that the Palestinians, and especially the militant Palestinian groups that are rampant today in the West Bank, would see him as a collaborator with Israel. Now, the judge did find him credible, and he did call this claim plausible, but at the same time, he said there was no expression of it, no expression in the sense that something happened to Mr. Hamdan or his family when he was there because of it. Again, this is at best irrelevant. This was before the changes in the year 2000. It's very similar to this court's case in Hengen, where there was a regime change, and the immigration judge only addressed what happened with the previous communist dictatorship in Romania and not the socialist dictatorship.
Ms. Cobb, does Mr. Hamdan have any family in the West?
He does have family.
And have they experienced any problems as a result of Mr. Hamdan's prior employment?
They haven't, but there also is no allegation that they knew, that the Palestinians knew who his family was or that his family was in any way associated. He was
despite
not...
Despite his profile, as you described?
No, the family that's there is his parents, and I believe he may have a sibling or two in the West Bank. He was living in a different area and living with his wife and his... and I think two young children, but his wife and children are now here. It's also, I'm glad you raised that issue because I was going to talk about Nakibuka, which is a case here about a Ugandan woman, and the court addresses the same, very similar situation where the family was not aware of the petitioner's activities and there was no indication that the persecutors knew about the family or associated the family with her. And the court said that just because the family was not persecuted doesn't mean that the woman would not be persecuted should she return. Social group is one of the other grounds upon which Mr. Hamdan feared persecution. As you know, this court has adopted the Acosta definition of a social group, a person who shares an immutable characteristic which they are unwilling or unable to change. The immigration judge did note at the beginning of the opinion that he was seeking relief under the ground of social group. However, he equated this with statelessness and then never addressed it again. I do see that I'm into the end of my time, so I will reserve the remainder for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Cobb. Ms. Keene.
May it please the Court. My name is Kylie Keene on behalf of the Attorney General. There are two issues before the Court today, and I'd like to first address the jurisdictional issue that respondent brought up in their motion to dismiss as well as in the brief. Respondent argues that Mr. Hamdan failed to administratively exhaust his administrative remedies before petitioning this Court for review on the issues that they briefed in the opening brief, specifically that Mr. Hamdan did not exhaust his cat protection claim, nor did he exhaust the future persecution claim on the three grounds that they now bring before the Court today. Failure to exhaust these issues limits this Court's jurisdiction to hear the petition for review, and I'll address that claim first. Regarding the cat protection claim, there's no mention of torture or protection pursuant to the convention in the notice of appeal before the board. In the brief to the board, Mr. Hamdan merely mentions that one of the issues on appeal is cat, and then does not go on to discuss that issue in the brief. Specifically, I would point to the fact that Mr. Hamdan does not list out the standards required for cat eligibility, does not discuss how the immigration judge would have erred in his denial of Mr. Hamdan's cat claim, nor does Mr. Hamdan argue how his factual situation makes him eligible for cat claim. It's just merely a raising of the term by tacking it on to the end of a list of the claims that he's bringing before the board. In that respect, that mention of cat is not an argument in the sense that this Court held in Margos versus Gonzalez, where the Court found that generalities are not enough to meet the exhaustion requirement, and that some sort of argument has to be brought before the board for it to articulate a decision regarding that particular distinct form of relief. And in this case, we just see that there's no articulation of an argument. You read the brief to the board, and you don't know why it is that petitioner is, Mr. Hamdan, is bringing it before the board. And that's reflected in the board's decision. The board doesn't say anything regarding the merits of the CAT claim, just mentions that next, turning to the withholding of removal claim under the Act and the Convention, if then the board goes on to talk about everything regarding the Act and nothing regarding the Convention, because there's just simply no argument to respond to, because none was raised before the board, either in the notice of appeal or in the brief. In that respect, respondent respectfully says that the Court's jurisdiction is limited to hear the merits of that particular claim. Likewise, respondent is also arguing that withholding of removal regarding future persecution was not exhausted before the board. Respondent does acknowledge, as Ms. Cobb stated, that the withholding standards are mentioned in the brief to the board. However, what is lacking are the arguments that are in the opening brief and the arguments that she brought up here today at oral argument. And what's particularly noticeable about the withholding claim is that respondent is essentially asking this Court for a remand. If you read the brief, they're asking for this Court to remand back to the board because the board failed to address social group persecution, nationality, as well as imputed political opinion based on future persecution as opposed to past persecution. And Ms. Cobb laid out how those two paths can lead to withholding of removal. But it's respondents' view that it is Mr. Hamdan's failure to articulate these issues to the board in a cogent argument that led the board to be silent on those issues. The board has no duty to review de novo the immigration judge's decision. It only has a duty to address issues that are brought to it from the appeal, whether that be the appeal of DHS or the appeal of the alien in this case. And it's, in fact, Mr. Hamdan's failure to bring those distinct issues. Social group doesn't appear anywhere in the brief before the board, nor does the facts of the imputed political opinion appear before the board, but the argument isn't there with regard to future persecution. All the brief to the board talks about is how the immigration judge erred in finding past persecution. And as Ms. Cobb has already stated, there are two distinct routes to achieve withholding of removal, and it's respondent's argument that only one of those routes was appealed to the board, that of past persecution and not future persecution. In turning to the merits, assuming arguendo that this Court would assume jurisdiction, the board found and affirmed one of the immigration judge's findings with regard to burden of proof, and that is that there's just simply no showing of individualized harm to Mr. Hamdan in this case. And you've discussed this with Ms. Cobb briefly. how the country condition reports and the fluidity of the situation in the West Bank, the Israeli checkpoints, the closures, these are all things that apply to all inhabitants of the West Bank. They don't apply to Mr. Hamdan on account of one of the five protected grounds under the INA. And that is his burden to show that he meets one of those, you know, there's a nexus between one of those five grounds and the reasons for the alleged persecution. Now, if the persecution is based on the mere fact that he doesn't have freedom of travel between the countries or he can't obtain some sort of job, it's still the burden on the alien to show that the Israelis are imposing that type of persecution to him specifically on account of one of those five grounds. Unfortunately, in the record, the evidence is just too generalized. And this court has held before in several cases that country condition reports that show a generalized civil strife or conflict area are just not enough to grant an individual asylum, withholding, or CAT under any of those three forms of relief. And one of the reasons is just a practical reason, that if Mr. Hamdan could succeed on this claim for either CAT or withholding of removal, then that would apply to all of the inhabitants of the West Bank.
Well, what of his argument, Ms. Kane, his profile is working on a unique project for the government as opposed for an individual Israeli citizen? Does that set the case apart at all?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I do not believe that it does. And the immigration judge did address that fact, and he looked to the fact that after the time that Mr. Hamdan worked for the Israeli government, he worked for the Palestinian Authority after that and didn't allege any sort of problems after that. So he, in fact, switched sides to the people that he's potentially claiming would persecute
him. Did he have the same level of responsibility when he worked for the Palestinian?
From the record, Your Honor, it doesn't appear that he did. It does appear that he got a demotion working on the Palestinian side, but he still didn't allege any sort of actions that would arise the level of persecution based on that. The fact that he could switch over, I think, evidences that there is no alleged persecution on this grounds. Furthermore, I would point out that Mr. Hamdan applied for asylum nearly 7 years after the time that he got into the United States, which is several years after the time that he left, meaning that nearly 11 or 12 years have passed since the day laborers had seen him working for the Israeli government. So I think it's a little bit, there wouldn't be enough evidence to allege that the people that would persecute him based on this imputed political opinion would have that knowledge that he worked for the Israeli government at that time. He's been in the United States unlawfully for nearly a decade. So I think there would at least be some question there as to whether or not the inhabitants of the West Bank that he alleges would persecute him would have knowledge that he, a decade ago, worked for the Israeli government. If Your Honors have no further questions, I'll sum up. First and foremost, because Mr. Hamdan failed to administratively exhaust his remedies, respondent respectfully requests this court to limit its jurisdiction over the petition for review. But in the alternative, the respondent argues that substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that he, in fact, did not show individualized harm to amount to relief under the INA or CAT. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Kane. Ms. Cobb? Well, you have a full minute, Ms. Cobb.
Okay, I'll go very quickly. First, as regard to the case of Margos, the court did acknowledge in there that the petitioner did not claim through any text or citation, and there was no semblance even of an argument. The government seems to be asking for this court to engage in some kind of exercise of line drawing where there's three sentences of argument, it's not enough, but where there's three paragraphs, there is. Again, the Board of Immigration Appeals did acknowledge that we raised the issues of withholding of removal and torture. As far as the fact that he was working for the Palestinian Authority after he worked for the Israeli government, Mr. Hamdan did testify to the fact that things were different then, that the Palestinian Authority was keeping everyone in control, things were stable, and it was after the regime change in the year 2000 that he began to fear, where the militant groups had more control and things were, you know how things in the West Bank are going. A little bit more lawless. The immigration judge did not even address what's happening now as far as arrests, the deaths, the detention, and the possible torture of suspected collaborators that are pages in the country reports about these things. And just lastly, I wanted to point out that in the respondent's brief, only in a footnote did they respond to our arguments that the immigration judge failed to address the evidence and failed to address the arguments as far as his claims of future persecution. It is for the immigration judge, the Board of Immigration Appeals, to address in the first instance the facts and the arguments before them. For that reason, we request that you remand the case.
Thank you, Ms. Cobb. Ms. Kane, the case is taken under advisement and the court